Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
guest who is starting the radio program. So I want to say good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Haleem Mustafa here, co-host to our producer and moderator of this particular show, which is Booker T. Washington Speaks. And we're meeting you from the African-American Family Room. And this is a forum where we actually have open discussion on matters of very serious matters that we need to discuss as a community, as a family. Now, today's topic is, do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government's policy regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents? I'll repeat that again. The topic for tonight is, do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government's policy regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents? But let me, before I begin, let me just say this. It's Ramadan, and this is a very special moment for me and for those Muslims fasting. So I'm going to say this prayer in Arabic and English, join me in your silent speaking, if you will. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahir Rabbil Alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim. غير المحجوب عليهم ولا ضالين آمين. The translation from the Arabic, which I recited from my heart, the English words are, I seek refuge, or we seek refuge with God, away from the cursed devil Satan. With the name of God, Allah, Almighty God, created the heavens and the universe. With the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to our God, cherish and sustain the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way on those who thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and go not astray in their duty and service to you. Amen. Again, my name is Dr. Haleem Mustafa, also known as Haleem the Dream Builder. And so I want to say to you, our host and moderator, will be coming on right now as I give him the mic here. And, Professor, you have it, sir.
Well, very good. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, sir, yes.
Okay, what we're going to do, we're waiting for guests to arrive. So what we're going to do, bear with us for a few minutes. Some of you may be listening via the Internet. But while we're waiting for other guests to arrive, because we want to play something when the other guests come on that we don't want to have to repeat. It's actually a audio of the White House's statement on the administration's position on illegal immigration. It's about a 5-minute audio file, which was actually published on the White House's website. And this was shortly after this administration took office. And now you can see the White House is vigorously implementing the plans which they discuss in this particular document, which has been turned into an audio file so that we can play it for our listeners. But we're going to wait until... we have some of our panel to arrive, and in the meantime, we want to play this particular piece. So bear with us as we play this piece.
We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We shall not. We shall not.
Technology here. Let me do something here. I think it's something going on my phone. Now tell me when you're able to hear. Just 1 second. Yeah, I'm not real familiar with how to do this changing up on this phone. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to set up something else.
I don't like this part on that.
And what we're going to do is we're going to call back in. We're just going to disconnect and call back in, and we should be fine. Brother Murad, can you hear me now? Brother Murad, can you hear me now? Pardon me. Okay,
Halima,
Brother Ali.
Halima, stop it.
I can hear you. Can you stop me here, but I don't hear any music or anything.
No, I'm not playing.
Just a minute. What we're going to do is we're going to play that piece that I was holding. I see that this is the highest. Okay. Michael, Stephanie, are you there?
I'm still listening.
Yeah, I'm calling on my sister-in-law. I think that's her. I see Stephanie. She might have gotten away from the phone.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
I can hear you. I got to turn down my music. That's why I'm on mute. Turn down my TV.
Okay, cool.
I didn't hear the topic, though.
Yeah, Dr. Halim, go ahead and repeat the topic. Dr. Halim, are you there?
Here's the topic for tonight. The topic is, do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government's policy regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents? That's
okay.
The topic, sir.
Thank you. Now, before we have any conversation about this, I want to play this recording of the administration's position on the illegal immigration issue.
We are protecting the freedoms of law-abiding Americans, and we are going after the criminal gangs and cartels that prey on our innocent citizens. President Donald J. Trump, taking action to combat illegal immigration. For too long, politicians across the country have failed to enforce the immigration laws already on the books. Just months in office, President Donald J. Trump is keeping his promises to the American people and taking action to enforce our country's immigration laws. President Trump's policies have already had an impact, with 64% fewer apprehensions and inadmissible entries at the southwest border compared to the same time last year. In the first 100 days after President Trump signed executive orders on immigration enforcement, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has seen nearly 40% more enforcement and removal operations compared to the same time last year. Nearly 75% of these illegal aliens have been convicted criminals with offenses ranging from homicide and assault to sexual abuse and drug-related charges. Arrests of convicted criminal aliens climbed by nearly 20% in this time compared to the same time last year. In fiscal year 2017, ICE has removed 2,798 criminal gang members, compared to 2,057 criminal gang members in all of fiscal year 2016. ICE has specifically targeted MS-13 criminal gang members for removal on immigration violations. President Trump has acted to strengthen the country's ability to enforce the laws and stop illegal aliens at the border. He has directed the hiring of 5,000 additional Border Patrol agents and 10,000 ICE agents. He has ordered the construction of a wall on the southern border and prioritized funds in his budget to begin its construction. Supporting legislation to enforce our laws, President Trump is supporting legislation in Congress that begins to address sanctuary cities and aliens who repeatedly enter our country in violation of our laws. President Trump supports the passage of the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, H.R. 3003. According to a recent Harvard-Harris poll, 80% of Americans support ending the practice of sanctuary cities that refuse to turn over criminal illegal aliens to federal authorities. Under the bill, states and localities that refuse to follow federal law and that prevent law enforcement officials from cooperating with federal authorities will no longer receive certain grants from the Departments of Justice, DOJ, and Homeland Security, DHS. Instead, states and localities that adhere to federal law will see grants shifted towards them. The Secretary of Homeland Security can refuse to transfer illegal aliens in DHS custody to authorities that refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. President Trump supports the passage of CATES Law, H.R. 3004. The law is named after 32-year-old Kate Steinle, who, according to law enforcement officials, was gunned down in broad daylight, allegedly by a five-time deported criminal illegal alien with seven prior felony convictions. The law would increase the mandatory penalties for illegal aliens who re-enter the United States to up to 2 years in federal prison. Illegal aliens who re-enter the United States are eligible to up to 25 years of federal prison. In his efforts to help the victims of these crimes, the president ordered the creation of the Department of Homeland Security's Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement, VOICE, office so the victims of the criminal acts of illegal aliens will no longer be ignored. A promise to the American people. While running for president, Donald Trump promised the American people that he would bring law and order back to our broken immigration system. As a presidential candidate on August 31, 2016, President Trump said, "We will end the sanctuary cities that have resulted in so many needless deaths. Cities that refuse to cooperate with federal authorities will not receive taxpayer dollars. And we will work with Congress to pass legislation to protect those jurisdictions that do assist federal authorities. Countless innocent American lives have been stolen because our politicians have failed in their duty to secure our borders and enforce our laws. Now is the time for all of us, as one country, Democrat and Republican, liberal and conservative, to band together to deliver justice and safety and security for all Americans." White House logo. The White House.
Okay. Brother Halim, can you hear me?
I'm here. I can hear you. I loud and clear. I hear you, sir.
Okay. Did you hear that message from the White House?
Yes, I did. Quite
what,
interesting,
was it,
sir.
What, louder?
It was audible, and it was loud enough. It was very distinct. So it was very, very distinct.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Well, anyway, that was played so that we could have a background from the administration so that we could intelligently discuss the topics tonight. And, of course, I'll take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Bianchi. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Okay,
I'm doing very fine here in the United States of America under the leadership of our precious president, Donald J. Trump.
Okay. Well, we salute your patriotism. And we're going to discuss the following topic tonight. Do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government's policies regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents? We just played a clip, an audio clip, that actually was a audio version of the statement that emanated from the White House last year, shortly after President Trump had assumed the leadership of the United States of America as president. I think you probably heard part of it. If you would like, just tell me and I'll play it again, but I think you understand the administration's policy. So we're going to ask you to hold on to your comment for just a minute because Stephanie was here first, and we're going to give you, Stephanie, the first shot at giving a response to that question. Do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government's policy regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents? And Dr. Halim, you and I can weigh in after Stephanie and Mr. Bianchi have said what's on their mind. So, Stephanie, would you like to go ahead and weigh in on the topic?
Yes, I would, kind of. I say kind of. First of all, let me say I disagree. I disagree with that, especially separating children from their parents. And the reason why I didn't want to comment too much, see, I've been writing this book since before, way before Donald Trump ran for president. I was writing this book before Obama. And my book is titled Illegals. I have completed the book. I have a copyright on it. It only has 8 short chapters, but I've been editing it, and I'm getting ready to touch into editing of chapter 7. So I hope that I'll be getting this book on the market real soon, because it just coincidentally happens to be about what's going on nowadays. Now, in my book, I show both sides of the coin, how different people feel on both sides of the coin. So even though I disagree, I got to respect everybody else's, how they feel about it. This is very, very controversial. This is God's green earth. You know, I know we don't want a bunch of criminals over here, but all of them are not criminals. A lot of them, it's so unfortunate what's happening to them and their children and families just being busted up. But then a lot of people feel like, hey, they have their own country, and it's a beautiful country. People pay good money to go over there and vacation. They have beautiful sandy white beaches and resorts. You know, we have it hard over here too. But I love the Mexican people. They are our neighbors. They have always been here. And for those who were brought over here as children and raised here, and they haven't done anything, and neither have their parents, and it's really heartbreaking. And when they took 150 Mexicans out of the fields, because they will work them fields, and deported them, now who gonna work them fields? You know, they weren't. And when they took that one Mexican guy, he was delivering a pizza onto a military base. Who was he hurting? He worked an honest 9-to-5 job. Some of this stuff is just ridiculous. These are human beings. They're good people. You know, I don't want to elaborate too much on it, but I'll listen to what someone else has to say. Maybe I'll say something else later. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you very much. Ms. Priyanki, would you like to weigh in on the question? Do you agree or disagree with the U.S. government policy regarding the deportation of illegal immigrants, even when it means separating young children from their parents?
Yes, I agree with it. As a matter of fact, I don't think it goes strong enough, because American citizens are having to pick up these costs. And here's the point, Mr. Washington. What kind of parent, you have to ask yourself, what kind of parent, when they are going to commit a crime, drags their kids with them? Think about it. Coming into this country illegally is a crime, and they drag their kids with them. So what's the mental state? Where's the accountability? Where is the responsibility that they're supposed to show as a parent? And the United States gives these countries tens of millions of dollars in aid for a host of reasons: to fight crime, to address some poverty issues, and so on and so on and so on. And yet instead, we still face what happened to pick up the tab in yet another way. So a person that go out and rob a grocery store, then they come back the next day and get a job at that grocery store as a stock boy. So all of a sudden you mean to tell me that their crime should be forgiven because now they're working there, helping toward the economic well-being of the store after the day before that they robbed it. So that crime should just disappear. And I also think that there should be some back charges going back to the countries where these people come from. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. You, Mr. Washington, I don't know what city you're in. And I don't know what your major airport is. But let's say you was in New York and you went to JFK to go from here to Spain. Well, if you don't have a visa, let's put it like this. If you don't have a passport, and within that passport, you have to have a visa to the country that you're going to. If not, the U.S. airline is not going to let you get on the plane. You know why? Because if you reach that destination and you don't have the proper documentation, then the onus is on the airline to bring your butt back. So why is it that these countries are letting these caravans, Nicaragua, Honduras, why are they letting these caravans leave the way they are? And they know damn well what they're going for. They're not going for a Sunday afternoon outing. Why come they not stopping them? And when they go through Mexico, why come Mexico is not stopping them? You know why come? Because they hell bent on bringing this country down any way that they can, a little bit at a time or a great bit at a time. That's my opinion. So I think that Customs and Border Protection and ICE, they should do their job as vigorous as they possibly can. Not like the previous president who had it set that if a illegal was within 100 miles of the border, that active pursuit can slack up on them, or so many days in the country, active pursuit can slack up on them. That sounds like the policy of a madman. But that's my answer. I think that they should separate them, send them back home or whatever. Well, either that, change the law where children can serve in a jail with their parents, because that's what it's based off of. Yeah, will it also extend to Americans? You know, you have women in prison today that have babies, and the babies are taken from them. Well, why don't they let the babies stay in prison with them? Anyway, that's my answer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Field. Okay, so we said we were going to save the next comments for Dr. Haleem. So, Dr. Haleem, would you like to weigh in on the topic now?
I'm really perplexed on both sides of it. One, certainly I understood, as I thought I heard on the piece in the White House, that it was focusing on some of the criminals, some of the MIA, or what they call themselves, the 415 and the other gang groups themselves. I understand that, right? And the police know how to find them easily, and they have networks that they really are very, very sophisticated. Now, when it comes to, like, taking the children out of the house just because a parent that's not done anything, you know, come and get, let me see, your green papers, it kind of talks to me a different level. It's almost like, for me, like slave catchers. It's almost like the idea of, like, in South Africa, let me see your ID, right? Do you have your ID? And so the idea that, see, this country, at least Texas and California, was really originally those people from Mexico, right? Now, I know there's a lot of people coming in from Honduras and other parts of South America, and they come through in waves, and these are real gangsters, man. They run into dope really strong out there, even though that guy that got caught who dug out of the jail, The Honduras underground, they are really sophisticated. They're really straight killers. Now, I see that. But then when we talk about being humane, we're not acting humane as a country. Because I know that they have, at least I was talking to some Hispanics, that they actually will allow a young 5-year-old kid to get up and testify and they only have about their situation. Now, a kid at 5 years old has no understanding to be getting up in front of an intimidating group of people, especially people who are looking at him a little sideways, not with love, but with hate or suspicion, right? So that doesn't make sense. I just believe that this is, for me, it was a political ploy at a very high level. And let me just say one other thing here. So for example, I kind of make a parallel with slavery in my mind, right? Because the thing is that, and I'm just going to say that we are not citizens in this country under any official base until every 20 years the Senate approves it, and that's a slap in our face, right? And this idea that the Hispanic people, they're multi, you might look at the Aztec Indians, look at the Mayan, the strong historical importance of what they contributed. And I believe that this world has got to a point now where we have to be under the ideals of what this creation was made for, because at one point it was all one plate together. So now that, you know, people have gotten this sophisticated way of stealing other people's land, stealing other people's resources, oil, stealing other people's leadership and making them pawns in the game, we're just becoming a very evil disposition country, and the leadership is reflecting that. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a minute and give you a quick insight into my thinking. First of all, I do respect Ms. Bianca's vast knowledge, but one thing I think we must not overlook is the fact that during the period of the enslavement of our people, the law, especially after the Dred Scott decision, I think that was around 1858, but regardless of the actual date, the law said that a slave legally had no legal right to escape from the master. So these slaves were escaping from the master, and they were taking their children with them. Now, you may say that's apples and oranges, but I'm thinking now, when people are suffering either from poverty or from repressive political conditions, and they want to run away, flee from these conditions, obviously they're going to take their children with them because they don't want their children to be left behind and not have the care and protection of the mother especially. And they don't want their children to have to suffer from something that they're trying to escape, even if there was a good relative that could take care of the child, but still be in those repressive conditions. So the slaves ran, and they took their children with them in most cases, maybe not all, but I think in most cases, and they were doing something illegal. So when you say, and again, you may say it's apples and oranges, and I can respect that, but when you say what kind of parent would take their child with them when they're breaking the law, my mind just happens to go back to the Underground Railroad. And we say Underground Railroad in a general sense, all of the fleeing slaves trying to beat the system of slavery, which they were legally bound to stay in until the U.S. government said that they could be free. So that's just a point. The other thing is a personal note. You know, I've been to Mexico, but not down to the beautiful area that Stephanie has referred to. I've never been to Cancun. I've never been to Acapulco. I've never been to some other place. I got down as far as Rosarita. But I've never been to that part of Mexico that you're referring to. I've just been to the border towns of Juarez and Tijuana. Of course, you probably know what that's all about. But the thing about it is the Mexicans treated me very nicely. I'm not talking about anything shady. But they treated me very nicely when I was down there. They treated me with respect. Nobody down there called me a nigger, excuse the language. Nobody told me I couldn't go in this bathroom because it was reserved for white people. Remember, when I went down there, you didn't know this. That was before the Equal Rights Law lifted those segregation rules. So whereas I couldn't, in some parts of Texas, where I was actually stationed in the military, I could not go into parts of the city. I could not go into some establishments and use a bathroom. But nobody in Mexico told me that I couldn't go because of my race or anything. And the other part of it, and I'll be finished on this note, is that God has blessed me and my wife to have had a very lovely, lovely home built for us by whom? By Mexicans. I will say that because of licensing issues, the inspections were done by the white people, but even the wiring was done by Mexicans. The plumbing was done by Mexicans. Everything in the construction of this house, from laying the slab to putting in the finer fixtures and laying the carpet throughout the house, was done by Mexicans, and they did a very good job. And the reason I can say that, as I close my comments, is that every morning while the house was being built, and it took a little over 3 months for the house to be done, but I would come out around 7 o'clock in the morning, park my car where I wouldn't be very what we might say obvious. I didn't want them to think I was spying on them, but I would park it close enough where I could see which truck of workers was coming in to do the day's work, because usually they would have only one particular type of work done on a particular day. And so by me having a little knowledge of what equipment was on the truck and even sometimes what, you know, what the people were, you know, carrying with them, tools and so forth, I had an idea what they were going to be working on. For example, when they got ready to lay the carpet, obviously you saw people coming in with the lining wrapped up and the carpet wrapped up and tools to cut the carpet and so forth. And then once I knew about what they were going to be doing, I would go to work. And then later at night, after they had finished, they usually finished around just before sunset, I would come back later after they had cleared out, and I would try to see what I could see with the remaining daylight. But if I couldn't get back before it got dark for one reason or another, I had a big flashlight. And I would walk around the inside of the house. I would go up and I would inspect the different electrical wiring because I am a trained electrician, and et cetera, et cetera. And I was very, very impressed with the high quality of their workmanship. So I have a lot of reasons for liking the Mexicans. Does that excuse the Mexicans from coming over here illegally when they should go through the consulate or embassy and get the necessary papers, come over here legally? No, it doesn't. But at the same time, I have to say, you know, of course, you know, minus those criminals that we were talking about, I'm so glad they're here. That's my opinion. So now we're going to go back to Stephanie, because we started with Stephanie, and you said you didn't want to say too much, but since you've heard something, you may want to say something. Would you like to comment?
Yes, I would. Okay, well, I want to jump right in and say, well, who's going to be next with this type of mess going on? What race will be next to get rid of? But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or the situation. What I do want to say, I remember back in the 70s living in San Diego. We used to go freely back and forth to Tijuana, Mexico, across that border, with no passport or nothing. Everybody did it. So, and as far as why would a parent want to take their child with them committing a crime? It was a crime to have to live like that. I've been over there where those people lived in huts with dirt floors, brown water, lice walking around, men offering to take their young daughters just so the family could eat. You think of it, and yes, it was going on over there. They were living under some horrible living conditions and laws. So that is why the parent would take their child and commit that crime of seeking asylum in a land of milk and honey, because everybody wants to live better. That's why they were coming over. Not just coming over because they're a criminal. And besides that, do you know what those people feel like? California, Mexico, Arizona, those places used to be their country until the U.S. pushed them back on their land and put up them borders, telling them how far they can go. So they feel like they're over in some land that God gave them anyway. And we might not like it, but I think that they have some rights over here. Now, I'm not standing up for anybody coming over here selling drugs or being a criminal or nothing, but it's a whole lot of them that are not doing that. And they haven't done anything to warrant these new laws that is coming to effect and just ripping their families apart like that. That is inhumane. It's pathetic. I pray about the situation. But, like I said, I've been writing this book a long time. I understand both sides of the coin. I'll speak some more later on how I feel about that other side of the coin. So I'm not going to cut that brother up for saying that he disagrees, that he agrees, because I know a whole lot of reason why a whole lot of other people agree too. I just personally disagree. It's very controversial. I appreciate each and every last one of your inputs, because these very topics that we're touching in conversations, it's all in my book. And I've been writing it for years. Thank you.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you so much. So we're going to go around again, and probably after we go around one more time, we'll go ahead and close the show out. I didn't set it up tonight but for 1 hour because I have actually been fasting all day, and I want to be able to sit down with my wife and enjoy this meal that I've been looking forward to that she has prepared. But we do want to hear everybody's words that you may be ready to give us. So please, we'll start with you, Ms. Bianchi. Would you like to respond to what I said, or Dr. Halim said, or Stephanie said?
Well, you know, you were talking about your house. I built my own home, too, 14-room, 4,000 square feet. I designed, built, and installed everything in it. I wasn't hiring. And when I did need some help, I called some of my African-American friends to do it. You know, I hear people complain about blacks not having jobs and how churches, when they build new churches, you don't see any black contractors or black workers on the projects. So I wouldn't. Yeah, was you muting, Mr. Washington?
That was a mistake. I hit the wrong button. Please repeat what you said. You said about the churches and not having any black workers.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to contribute to that argument. Another point. I don't have a problem with people that comes into the country legally. Apparently South Africa don't either, but if people come out of Zimbabwe and Namibia and they're just black as South Africans, they have to leave. They get them out. And, you know, the I hear African Americans complain, and probably others too, about how schools are not funded correctly or to the greatest extent. But what happens when you bring in a bunch of illegal aliens or refugees? And look at the perks they get. They get the refugee medical assistance for 8 months. They get a reception and plan grants, pre-arrival recognition, initial housing, $1,850 per refugee for food, clothing. They have services that's provided to them, social program. They have the TANF benefit eligibility, temporary assistance for needy families. They get that for 5 years, Medicaid benefits for 7 years, SSI, food stamps. They get the SHIP program for 7 years, which is state children health insurance. They're not even a citizen of the United States. They get K-12 education, cash and medical assistance programs over again, mental health services, substance abuse services, immunization, women and children health services, emergency medical services, emergency EMS services. And then when you look at your inner cities, you hear all these complaints about the citizens of those inner cities are being neglected, these very things that these illegal refugees and aliens are receiving. They are eligible from some states. Even though they're coming from another country, they can go to college and pay in-state tuition. Your child coming out of Virginia try to go to a school in Louisiana, you won't have to pay out-state tuition, which is double. And your child is a United States citizen. Something wrong with that picture. And more so, something's wrong with the minds, I think, of the people that think it's okay. So that's where I stand up. I think that aid should stop. If the aid is not producing what it was intended to do, and I don't care if officials are squandering, that's up to the people of that country to hold their elected people, officials, responsible. If living conditions are substandard and awful and make you want to cry, that's up to that government to take care of their people. That's not up to United States citizens. You got people in Mississippi that's within sight of the interstate highway that don't have internet. They're United States citizens. You got kids in the inner city that go to school with dirty clothes. When they go home, they don't have anything to eat. So they have to stay at school until 7 or 8 o'clock so that they can have a meal to eat. In the city of St. Louis, they got a whole school to teach these individuals how to speak English. But when black kids is not speaking proper English, they get ridiculed and say they speak in Ebonics, which is okay. But where is the school to help them to critique their English skills? I don't understand it. I mean, are we have amnesia? These things don't go away. They're still there. And you got a school district that already people complaining that the children are not getting proper education. Test scores show that. But you want to bring in others and further bog down the classrooms. I really don't understand it. Something wrong with that picture. Maybe Justice Taney was right. Anyway, that's all I want to add.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bjarke. We appreciate always, you know, your comments. Everyone is entitled on this show to speak his or her own mind. We don't try to bend anybody's mind to conform to the one way or the other way. Everybody's free to speak what's on your mind. And we're going to go back to Brother Halim and then Stephanie. We'll leave it open if you want to say something, and then I'll make some closing comments. And before I close out the show, I'll give Mr. Priyanka one additional chance to say some closing remarks if he wants to, if you want to, Mr. Bialke. Right now, we're going to go to Brother Halim. Brother Halim, do you have any last comments before
we
wrap up?
Yes, I do. I'm going to be real brief. I think we should be very careful of defining people as aliens and defining people as, you know, as a the derogative thing. That's like saying like aliens to me is like niggas, excuse my language. And this, and also you have to think about the true aliens. And this is might be a little difficult for people to recognize. White people are the real aliens on this planet, right? And so the fact is, that a lot of times we're following everything they say, hook, line, and sinker. They're the reality because they're the gods. They're the white influences on our minds. They influence our behavior to the point we think we're white and we ain't white and we're not white. They know we're not white, but they still treat us like we're their slaves. Now, I'm just saying to you, be very careful what you say about people, because one day it's going to come back on you. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to go to you, Stephanie, if you care to make a comment before we wrap up. Would you like to say something in conclusion?
Yes, thank you. I thank God that I'm a person with a heart. I think that anybody that's heartless also devilish. And what you don't want for yourself, why would you want for another person? Just have a heart. We serve a mighty God, a God who has made zillions and billions and trillions of people, each with their own individual different voice, each with their own individual fingerprints. And that's only the tip of the iceberg of his greatness, of his works. And he gave us a heart. And I just pray that people don't harden that heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. We noticed that we have also, just in the last few minutes, seen that I believe this is Sister Rashida. Salim, is this you, Sister Rashida?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes.
I just
welcome to the panel forum tonight. did you know what the topic was for tonight?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I saw it at the last minute. I tuned in about 10 minutes before the show started, and I was just anxious to listen at comments, and I really enjoyed everybody's comments, you know, everybody's comments, Stephanie's, Mustafa's, Bianca, and I enjoyed yours. It was just so educational. And I can't wait for Stephanie's book. Stephanie, I can't wait for your book. I want one. I want to order mine right now, and I'm just looking forward to it. I love your comments, you know. I thoroughly enjoyed everybody. You know, I wish I kind of would like to see us talk to get to know each other a little bit too. You know, as I listen to everybody, you know, you mm-hmm. really get to know everybody. And I think I know Bianca from St. Louis. I think I've heard him on other shows. Is that right, Mr. Bianca? On do you remember Onion Horton? In St.
Yeah,
Louis.
I remember Onion Horton very well.
What? Were you ever on his talk show?
No, I called into him.
Yeah, I remember your voice, and this has been like years and years ago. But anyway, so much for that. I just wanted to make sure that I thought I had recalled your voice years ago. My brother, I live in Rockford, and my brother lives in Belleville. Collinsville, and he used to tape Onion's shows and send them to me on cassette. He would send them to me. But anyway, I'm looking forward to Stephanie's book, and I'm looking forward to continue listening to all of everybody's comments. Like I said, I enjoyed all of them. And Ramadan Mubarak, which means blessed Ramadan to all, and peace and blessings to all.
Thank
and
you.
And I'll hear you next week.
Okay, well, thank you. You may have heard that we were going to end a little early tonight because.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Fasting, just, you know, set before me, just a wonderfully prepared meal that I'm anxious to enjoy. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Would you like to make a final statement before we wrap up? I'll let you go ahead and take a finish before and do that.
Well, you know, Mr. Washington, I'm glad people mentioned God. Because he said in Deuteronomy, you shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. So I don't have those type of sentiments for people in other countries where their governments are not doing what they're supposed to do. And this great country of ours is already issuing to them aid that's being squandered. That's up to those people. If there's a revolution to overthrow the government, I guess United States citizens are supposed to go down there and risk their lives in doing so. You should not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons, taking their daughters for your sons. That's an abomination. So I understand people. And, you know, I hope maybe next week you can talk about all the industries that's kicking off here in the United States due to our president's tax reform and also these tariffs. And I know you made mention earlier about the PPC, PPT, but doing away with that allowed him to phase out over 18,000 tariffs among participating countries, and some of them was imposed upon the United States, 18,000. I don't know why the news never report these things, because people act on emotions, emotionally based on the inflamed words that they hear, the stories that they tell with the news media, always including some poor, crying, suffering kid in the story in order to get some sentiment to go against government policy. What about the kids in the United States? Are they not crying, suffering? What's not... kids pulled away from their mothers on the slave auction block? Are not kids today taken out of people's homes and put in foster homes? Is not it so that a black child in an orphanage will hardly ever come out of there? Even blacks don't adopt their own kith and kin, their own kind, should I say. But you open up your hearts for these aliens? An alien is a legal term that's used by the Department of State. It's used by United States Code. And I believe it's Title 8. I'm not sure. The word is there. And it tells you, you're not a citizen. So we say things in order to make it sound sweet, sound dearly, sound ethical. But regardless, the law is the law. And the laws have to be followed. Anyway, Mr. Washington, you had a nice program. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day and your fast.
Thank you, Mr. Bianchi. And we're going to wrap it up with that. We thank everyone who joined our panel tonight, those who listened that did not want to actually talk on the show but were listening. We hope that all of you have a good remainder of the weekend, and certainly, we will be considering your suggestion about the program for next week. We always like to take the opportunity to just see what's in the news during the week, and then usually before the weekend. But sometimes we don't make the decision until Saturday. There's so much happening, and we want to just make sure we talk about something that's probably on a lot of people's minds. Would you like to say anything in closing, Holly? I don't know. I think he left. So, okay, well, thank you very much again. We're going to end as we traditionally end with this beautiful song. So may God bless all of you, and to you that are fasting, or to the Muslims who would like to fast, who can't fast in the sense of eating only during the night hours, but you can fast from doing anything that you know is not really good for your community life or your spiritual life. So we say Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. And so thank you for coming on tonight, Sister Rashida. We'll be with us next Saturday. And please, if you get a chance to talk to Dr. Brandy Brown, please invite her to come on. I'm going to choose a topic that I think she will be interested in, something dealing with education. So I'll call her, though. But thank you very much. And so now we say good night.